And I also want to thank the folks responsible for the Christmas decorations all over the place. I think, is it you who put the Christmas tree up? Cheryl Roth, thank you. That tree out front is awesome. And Carol Hyatt, and I don't know who else helped you, but Deanna, thank you, thank you, thank you. It looks fabulous. And who else? Pat Hodges and Dee Tribune. Yeah. You ladies are the best. Thank you. Well, I don't know about you, but do you feel like you're getting like 50 catalogs every day in the mail advertising Christmas gifts that you should give? Okay, I'm looking for a little yes. Okay. Thank you. Instead of no. It's probably the women that pick up the mail. The guys don't even know it. Anyway, I got this this catalog from TJ Maxx. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with TJ Maxx, it's a discount clothing store for both men and women. They're all over the Kansas City area. And it can be a very addictive kind of store, especially because it's connected to Home Goods, which is really addictive. So I get this catalog, and you open the inside cover, and there's a picture of these two adorable little children giggling with delight over the gifts that they're receiving. And I kid you not, this is what it says. Your guide to giving joy. Because apparently we don't know how to give joy without the help of a catalog from TJ Maxx. From our family at TJ Maxx, Marshall's Home Goods, and Sierra Trading Post, the greatest gift this holiday season is time spent with your loved ones. You go, okay, that's good. I like that. Time spent with loved ones. And now they're going to tell us how to enjoy our time spent with loved ones. This is their guide to giving joy. So they say, quote, "So we've put together this giving guide packed with thoughtful ideas that let you give your friends and family experiences they'll treasure. With new gift arrivals right up until Christmas and amazing prices that let you be extra generous, our stores help you bring back the holidays." Does that sound like a political slogan? Like, make America great again. We're going to help you bring back the holidays. Like, we've lost the holidays, and we need TJ Maxx to help us rediscover the joy in Christmas, because apparently we've lost it. And here's what I find unbelievable. People buy it. They buy into it. So as the video showed that Kent played for us at the beginning of the service, the biblical definition of joy is a whole lot different than TJ Maxx's definition of joy. And that we can experience joy as Christians even when our circumstances are not so great or even sorrowful or painful. I want to read to you a brief passage from Max Lucado's book, The Applause of Heaven, in which he's describing a man he met many years ago whose name is Robert Reed. And you wouldn't expect Robert Reed to have a whole lot of joy. "I have everything I need for joy," Robert Reed said. "Amazing," I thought. "His hands are twisted and his feet are useless. He can't bathe himself. He can't feed himself. He can't brush his teeth, comb his hair, or put on his underwear. His shirts are held together by strips of Velcro. His speech drags like a worn out audio cassette." Robert Reed has cerebral palsy. "The disease keeps him from driving a car, riding a bike, and going for a walk. But it didn't keep him from graduating from high school or attending Abilene Christian University, from which he graduated with a degree in Latin. Having cerebral palsy didn't keep him from teaching at a St. Louis junior college or from venturing overseas on 5 mission trips. And Robert's disease didn't prevent him from becoming a missionary in Portugal. He moved to Lisbon alone in 1972. There he rented a hotel room and began studying Portuguese. He found a restaurant owner who would feed him after the rush hour and a tutor who would instruct him in the language. Then he stationed himself daily in a park where he distributed brochures about Christ. Within 6 years, he led over 70 people to Christ, including his wife, Rosa. I heard Robert recently speak, and I watched other men carry him in his wheelchair onto the platform. I watched them lay a Bible in his lap. I watched his stiff fingers force open the pages. And I watched people in the audience wipe away tears of admiration from their faces. Robert could have asked for sympathy or pity, but he did just the opposite. He held his bent hand up in the air and boasted, "I have everything I need for joy." His shirts are held together by Velcro, but his life is held together by joy. Wow. How can a man in Robert Reed's situation claim to have everything he needs for joy? I think it's because he discovered the recipe for joy that is found in Jesus Christ. And my friends, this recipe is available to every single one of us every day. And the passage I chose today is not a traditional Christmas passage, but I think the passage reveals very well what the Bible understands to be joy and how we get joy, what the source of our joy is, besides adorable little children. It's so cute. You can tell I'm excited about being a grandma. Now, before I read you this passage, and by the way, the passage is printed in your bulletin on the inside cover if you want to follow along. But before I read the passage, I need to give you a little backstory on that passage. Jesus is just launching his ministry. He knows he's going to be traveling all around Galilee, Judea, Samaria, and even places that are beyond the borders of Israel. He's going to be covering a lot of territory on foot over the next several weeks and months and even years. And so he sends out these 72 guys. Jesus didn't have just 12 disciples. He had a lot of disciples, just the 12 apostles. So anyways, there's these 72 guys. He sends them out in pairs. So they're like in teams. There's 36 teams going out ahead of Jesus, not just to say, "Hey, you guys, this guy Jesus, he's the Messiah. He's coming to town. Get ready." Jesus has given them the power to heal sick people and to cast out demons. I don't know if you're a Dave Ramsey fan, but I am. And when Dave Ramsey is coming to Kansas City, if you're up in the city, you'll see billboards everywhere advertising that Dave Ramsey is coming to town. So in a sense, that's what these 72 guys were doing. They were going ahead of Jesus to get people ready to receive him. Okay, now the passage then is from Luke 10:17-22. By the way, I don't know how long these guys were out there. It doesn't say. It just says when they got back, they were really excited. When the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, "Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name." "Yes," he told them, "I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you." Now, Jesus is probably referring here as snakes and scorpions to the scribes and Pharisees that Jesus himself called a brood of vipers to their face. And as we know, Satan is depicted as a snake in Genesis. I don't think Jesus is advocating that you and I should, you know, deliberately walk among scorpions and snakes because, you know, God will protect us. That's not what he's saying. What he is saying is he has given us the authority and the power over evil forces. And then he goes on to say, "But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven." At that same time, Jesus was filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. He said, "Oh, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever and instead revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way." And then he turned to the 72 and he said, "My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Okay, back to these 72 guys when they get back and they're all excited. Why are they excited? Because they got a gift from TJ Maxx? Because they got a new power tool for Christmas? No, they were excited because they'd been out talking to people about the kingdom of God. They'd been healing sick people and they'd been casting out demons. I'd be excited too if I just got back from a trip like that. And so they're so excited, they're about ready to burst when they get to Jesus and tell him everything that happened. Now Jesus acknowledges their excitement and says, "Yeah, I understand why you're excited, But he says, don't rejoice simply that evil spirits will obey you and submit to you. Instead, rejoice that your names are registered in heaven or written in God's book in heaven. And here's where it gets personal for you and me. So cool. Did you know that your name is written in a big book in heaven? Maybe not literally, but figuratively. Your name is in God's book. It's registered because you have been adopted as one of God's sons or daughters if you've given your life to God in Jesus Christ. Or think of it this way. Your picture is on God's cell phone. I don't know if women do this more than men, but I take any opportunity I can finagle to show people pictures of my children on my phone, and especially, this is really stupid, but especially the dog, the ginormous big black dog. And I can only imagine what it's going to be like when I become a grandmother. You know, look out, I'll be getting my phone out. And this is what God is doing with your picture to the angels. You know, many years ago when Michael, our oldest son, was only 3 years old and our daughter was 1 year old, my mom and I with these two kids went into this really high-end, beautiful gift shop. And my daughter, Becca, was just one, so she was in a stroller. There's nobody else in the store except us and the lady behind the counter. And so she comes from around the counter and she bends down. And she's oohing and aahing over my children and going, oh, ma'am, you have such beautiful grandchildren. My mom, you can see where this is going, can't you? Whips out her wallet and says, oh, I have lots of other grandchildren. You want to see their pictures too? The reason I tell you this is because God is like a proud grandmother. God is like my mom. He loves you so much. He is crazy in love with you. Your picture is on his cell phone. Your picture is on his refrigerator. Your picture is all over the house. God loved you more than my mom loved me and my kids. Wrap your head around that one. Isn't that impossible? To know that you are that loved, and that in and of itself should get every single one of us great joy. Imperishable joy, unending joy. Nothing can steal my joy. God has me by the hand kind of a joy. Every single day. And like Robert Reed, we too should be able to raise our hand in the air, whether it's twisted and gnarled or whether it's straight and true, and say, I have everything I need for joy. I believe deep in my heart that this understanding, this realization that God loves us is the first ingredient in the recipe for joy. Knowing God intimately and experiencing his love intimately. But this is where so many people sadly get stuck. They kind of know it in their head, but they don't really experience it or feel it. So many of us have not figured out how to experience the love of God. I want to go back and look again at verses 21 and 22. In verse 21, it says, at that same time, Jesus himself was filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. And he's praying. He's talking to God the Father. He goes, oh, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever and instead revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it in this way. And then he turns his attention to the 72 guys. And he says to them, my Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So Jesus is filled with joy because God has revealed himself to the humble, the childlike. Not people who think they have it all figured out. Not people who think they're holier than other people. And he says, you know, nobody really knows the Father except the Son, and nobody knows the Son except the Father, except those Jesus reveals him to. And guess what, you guys? God has chosen you to reveal the Father's love to you. Why did God choose you? No offense. Why did God choose me? I don't know. Why did God choose any of us? Did he choose you because you're smart, sophisticated, influential, athletic, beautiful, and have a sparkling personality? Probably not. Kids go, yeah, no. You know, maybe that does describe you, maybe partly describes you, but really, bottom line is the reason God chose you or me is because of a humble heart. A person who goes, Lord, I really don't have that much to offer. I'm not that fabulous. I don't know anything. That's why God chooses us, just regular, ordinary people. You know, you probably got some gifts, but you're not Patrick Mahomes. Are you? You're not a rock star. But the fact that God chose you, just plain, ordinary you, should be enough to keep that joy flowing on a continual basis every day. And so as I was thinking about, you know, how come most of us don't radiate that kind of joy that he was describing in Robert Reed? Where did we drop the ball? Or maybe we never picked up the ball in the first place. And it got me to thinking about the things in our life that rob us of our joy in Christ. And I thought, well, you know, here are some things. I think personally that we are robbed of our joy when we focus on the wrong things in life. Most of the time we are focused on the temporal things, the things that don't last very long, the things that are just going to be a pile of ash at the end of the day. And a lot of times those things are pretty silly, like we got a bad haircut or our team didn't win. Of course, today I am going to be mad if the Chiefs don't win, so I'm kind of a hypocrite. But sometimes, you know, you order a certain gizmo and it comes and it's the wrong gizmo. Or you order something and it doesn't fit, or it's the wrong color, or you order something and it doesn't come, it gets there too late, so you get all bent out of shape. Sometimes we're robbed of our joy over much larger issues, like the sale of our house fell through, or somebody in our family made a horrible decision that's really messing up their life. Or maybe we have a dear friend who hurt us deeply. Or maybe we've discovered we got an illness and there is no fix for this illness. Sometimes we get robbed of our joy because we're feeling sorry for ourselves over our crummy circumstances. Now, I got to make a disclaimer here. It's perfectly legitimate, like the video said, to feel sorrow when sorrow is called for. I don't want you to ever feel guilty if you're going, wow, I just can't get past this sorrow I feel because my friend died. No, Jesus wept over his friend's Lazarus' death, even though he knew he was going to raise him shortly thereafter. So sorrow and grief are perfectly normal. And we also have permission to get angry over injustice and evil. You know, Jesus on several occasions got really angry, not just at the Pharisees, but sometimes at his own disciples. And so, yes, it is appropriate when we get upset about injustice and evil. But just because it's hard to experience joy in some of these difficult circumstances, we must never make camp, so to speak, in the bad circumstances. We have to deal with the situation and then move on and make camp where we're focused on Jesus and his love for us. Friday night, Colby Fanning came over to babysit the dog. I know it's really stupid, but we don't like to leave him alone for more than 4 hours. So Colby came over, and we were talking about camping, and Colby is on a camping trip this weekend. And I asked him, so do you ever camp on snow, like on top of the snow, which is not very fun because it's hard-packed, it's like cement, and it's really cold. And he says, well, that weekend I was sick. And I thought, smart move. Anyway, for those of you who do camp, I bet you've had the experience of setting up your camp, getting your tent all situated, you get inside your sleeping bags, you're all hunkered down for the night, and then it starts to rain. And you discover that you're sitting right where the water wants to run to make its way into the creek. And so the rain is either going around your tent or in underneath your tent or maybe right through your tent. And so you have to make a decision. Am I going to stay in the rain zone, or am I going to slap on the headlamp or get out the flashlight, get out of my bed, move everything to a dry location? You got to make a choice. You can stay there and be miserable all night in the rain zone, or you can move your camp to safe, dry ground. Now, some people never experience the joy that Jesus has for them Because when it starts to rain, and it rains for all of us, they rather just stay in the rain zone. They don't want to bother to get up and move their camp. They want to stay in the rain zone. They want to be wet and miserable and cold. They want everybody else to experience their misery with them. We all know people like that. But if you want to experience the joy that Robert Reed experienced, do what he did. Focus on God's love for you in Jesus Christ. This is part one of the recipe for truly experiencing joy. Focus on God's love for you. And part two is to get involved in God's work. Now, these 72 guys that came back after they'd been proclaiming the kingdom of God, they'd been casting out demons and healing people, of course they were excited. Of course they were full of joy because they'd been participating in God's work. But Jesus says you got to really reverse the order. Focus first on God's love for you, and then from there, focus on being involved in God's work. Several years ago, Kent and I went to a fundraiser for Prison Fellowship Ministries. And there was this really cool black guy that was up there singing "It Is Well With My Soul." And he just radiated joy and peace. I mean, he was amazing. And he had a glorious voice. But he told the backstory of his wife. His wife grew up in the ghetto. She was one of seven kids. And the only reason she went to church is because they lived next door to this older couple who bribed her to come to church by buying her pretty little dresses. And that got her going, hey, whatever works. You have to buy a little sparkly, tops or little Batman shoes or whatever. Whatever works to get a kid to come to Sunday school, I'm all for it. And in her case, she came to Christ through this couple, through going to Sunday school all those years. All of her siblings ended up either in prison or dead. She's the only one out of seven that escaped that horrible home life. So she and her husband then were very involved in this ministry is trying to reach out to these little kids that were like her when she was a child to escape prison or death. So anyway, this guy is singing "It Is Well With My Soul," and his face is just glowing with joy and peace and just beauty. And I leaned over to Kent and I go, wow, I bet when he sings in prison, the inmates all want what he has. And Kent says, I want what he has. Oh my gosh, I've never seen a face like that. I mean, he wasn't especially handsome, but he was glowing, literally glowing with the love of Jesus, because he knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that God loved him, and he just wanted to share that love with other people. Not only that, he was involved in this ministry, and he was seeing miracles happen in the lives of hardened criminals, murderers, rapists, thieves, you name it, drug dealers. And I'm thinking, you know what? That's a really good source of joy. Way better than anything out of the TJ Maxx catalog, don't you think? So if you're serious about wanting to be full of joy, then your first order of business is to focus on God's love for you by imitating other people who have figured out how to do this. And I'm here to tell you, it's not that hard, but it does require a decision on your part. You've got to be reading the Bible. You must steep yourself in the scriptures, because it is God's love letter to you. And it's how we know that God loves us. And second, along with that, is pray. Pour out your heart to God. Tell him what's bothering you. He can take it. If you're mad, let him know. If you're upset about something, he can take it. And then listen for what God wants to say to you. That is how we develop that close, intimate, personal relationship with God. And your second order of business is to look around and see where God is at work, and then join in. You don't have to go out and start something from scratch. All you have to do is look around you and see, where is God at work? Okay, I want to be part of that. I mean, it could be Ripples of Change, Hope House, Life Care Center here in Ottawa, volunteering at the schools. It could be something as simple as helping a neighbor, maybe listening to somebody who's in crisis and just being a listening ear for them, or maybe giving somebody rides to the doctor. It's just that joy, you see, is a byproduct. It's not something you can actually buy in a box. Joy is a byproduct of knowing that you're loved by God and of being involved in His work. Having Him put you, ordinary you, with your humble heart to work. You know what? I personally think that that is the greatest joy there is knowing that God used me in the life of another person. Because what that says to me is, oh, God thought I had something to offer. Or He wanted to use me as a vehicle. I guess I count. Being used by God, I personally think, is the most wonderful kind of joy there is. And so this is joy, just in a nutshell, knowing that your name is written in heaven in the book of life because God loves you. And second, knowing that God is putting you to work to use you for His kingdom and His glory. And there's no substitute for joy. There's no other way to know joy. God is the author and the source of joy, and our joy can be found in no other. And so I just invite you to enter into that spirit that Robert Reed had and say, in Jesus Christ, I have everything I need for joy. Would you please pray with me? Lord, we keep looking for joy all around us, thinking we can get it out of a catalog or in a store or in a fancy vacation. But Lord, true joy just comes from knowing You and knowing that we are loved and that we are Yours forever and the hope we have in You, no matter how difficult our circumstances are. And from being put to work by You, Lord, I do ask that for each one of us, that every single one of us here would open up our hearts to receive the love that You have for us and to receive any sort of task or mission that You want to give us. Help us to look beyond our own circumstances and see how we can be a blessing to others, because that is why You have blessed us. And most of all, Father, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus, who died to give us life. And we know that that is a hope we can take to the bank. We know that we are Yours forever. And we pray in His name. Amen.